opened up my little notebook, and my notebook was not in there. That makes you nervous as a preacher to have your notes missing, but it was right there. All right, very good. Matthew chapter 28 tonight. After service, we'll have a brief business meeting and election. So if you could, after, as soon as service gets done, go get your kids so the our King's Club workers can get into service and be part of that. And we want all voting adults to be able to be here for that. Just a special election concerning our deacons. All right, Matthew chapter 28. I was trying to think. I was talking to a young person this past week, and this is an old guy talking to a young person, so this was like old man advice. You know what I'm talking about? So I was talking to this young person, and I was explaining how we need to be careful in our judgment of other people's actions until we fully consider their perspective on life. Say, what are you talking about? Well, sometimes people do some weird things. But sometimes people do weird things for weird for reasons. And although we don't have to necessarily agree with it, we do have to at least give some awareness and some sensitivity towards those things. Now, saying that to say, I was trying to think of maybe some advice I could give Ed and getting ready to go. Now, this is his second term almost, I mean, kind of. He's been in Puerto Rico for a while now. He's gone back and forth and heading back. But the difficulty is that I've never been where he's at. So to speak about a subject, well, about a feeling, I was trying to think, how would I feel being in his shoes, trying to take my own advice, right? As I expressed this to this young person this past week, hey, make sure you consider what they're feeling and what they're going through, so when you talk to someone, you're aware of that. Not that you necessarily, again, have to agree with it. Well, that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to sympathize or consider where Ed and Jackie were. And the problem is, I've just not been in there. Never stood at the door and said goodbye to my family, not knowing when I'm going to see him again. It could be years. I've not had to live out of totes and crates and boxes for an extended period of time because you're just home for a little while. I don't know what that feels like, but I do. So I felt like I hit a dead end with that. So in my study of the scripture, I thought I would maybe remind him and Miss Jackie of how they got here. To remind him of maybe the very thoughts that tugged on his heart that convinced him that Rochester was no longer to be his home, that he was to up and move and go to Puerto Rico. Now, some people retire and go there, but that is not the purpose of his mission. Purpose of his mission is considerably different. His approach to the people is different. It's not like I'm going to just make house here and I'm just going to make a life now in Puerto Rico. No, he's going with a very distinct, specific task, commissioned by God himself in his heart. Jackie, the same. That they would leave comfort and home to go to a place where it's always hot. Home of the pina colada, though, that's nice. I mean, the non-alcoholic one, of course. Of course. We'll talk about that later with the qualifications of a deacon, all right? But he's leaving all of that. And I thought maybe we could look at some of the verses that maybe tugged at his heart to again encourage him. Ever get to a place and go, how did I get here? Maybe there some night in 3 months he's laying there, air conditioner cut out again. Sam's crying because he's got a cold. Caleb's in the bed with him and he's thinking, how'd I get here? What on earth am I doing here? Why am I doing this? And maybe tonight's message would ring in his heart a little bit. So as we look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Why are they leaving? Because they've been commanded to. The scripture says, go ye therefore into all nations. Last time I checked, Puerto Rico qualifies for that. But he has a job. It's not to live on a resort. And I mean, pretty much no matter where you stand in Puerto Rico, you can see the ocean. Just about. It's not a big island, right? No. You could drive the whole outside circumference in how many hours? 4 or 5 hours? Normal speed limits. Yeah. About that. Six. Sorry. But it's... Yes. Yeah. Sure. How many people are in Puerto Rico? 3.5 million. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He's not going there just to make a life in Puerto Rico. He's going to fulfill the Great Commission. He was maybe sitting in a service just like this, or maybe it was in a missions conference, or maybe where God began to work. Not when he yielded, but when God began to work. Maybe it was in a Bible Institute class and he was sitting in Matthew class or something of that sort. Maybe just reading his Bible and the Lord began to tug on his heart that you're not going to make roots here. I have a different plan for you. I'm going to send you somewhere else. I want you to go into all nations and not just make a new life for yourself in Puerto Rico, but I want you to go and I want you to teach the lost. I want you to lead them to Christ. I want you to make them disciples of Christ. I want you to baptize them. I want you to teach them all things. That's what I want you to do, Ed and Jackie. I want you to leave Michigan. I want you to leave New York. I want you to go to Puerto Rico. What are Ed and Jackie doing? They're simply fulfilling the Great Commission. And maybe this very verse was the verse that began to tug on his heart. Don't forget why you're there, Ed. It's to teach all nations. It's to make disciples of men. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Again, I mentioned maybe 3 months from now, maybe 3 years from now, he's going to be sitting on his couch and thinking, what on earth am I? Someone might come up and say, why are you here? God, have an answer. Well, my body just reacts better to this climate. That's not the hope that lieth within you. That wasn't the answer that he was asking. That wasn't the answer to the question he wanted to know. And there's going to be observations of your lives. And they want to know why you would leave this place to go there. And you have an answer. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What makes a good leader? What makes one that has followers? What is it? Someone that knows what they're doing with confidence. Even if it's as crazy as a... But someone wants to know that you're fully persuaded in your mind. That you're fully persuaded in your heart and in your life. That you know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm here for a reason. Can you give an answer? Be ready, Ed, to give an answer to everyone. Fulfilling the Great Commission, giving an answer of the hope. See, we spoke of this quite extensively. This is a hopeless generation. Without Christ, it's hopeless. But you have the cure. You have the key. When you go down there, don't tell them about, hey, I read this great self-help book. No, what do? We point them to Christ. May our life point people to Christ. That is, you fulfill the Great Commission, be ready to give an answer to every man. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Your knowledge of the Scriptures will make you unashamed. We spoke of this a few weeks ago in our Sunday school class as we studied the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. How is it that I can stand here unashamed? Why will I never have to go back on the words that I give concerning the gospel? You know what? I told a story in young adults. If there was a new young boy in school, he was lanky, looked awkward. One of the other kids came and said, "You look slow. I'm going to race you after school." And sure enough, they set up their little race. They specked it out, looked at it, knew exactly where they were going. They lined up on their spot. Lanky kid, best runner in school kid. On your mark, get set, go. They took off running. Well, lanky kid knew how to put one foot in front of the other a little bit better than the big mouth. Beat him by 30 yards. Know what happened? He was ashamed. Never made fun of the lanky kid again. He had to go back on his words. Had to apologize. You know what I'll never have to apologize for? The gospel. I'll never have to say, "I'm sorry. It just doesn't work for you. I'm sorry, I didn't realize your circumstance. I didn't realize your situation. Yeah, Christ just isn't for you." We all have favorite places we like to go eat, right? Mrs. Wilson, do you have a favorite place? Tell me. There you go. And maybe you hear that and go, "Yes. Ed hears that and his heritage is coming out a little bit. Yeah, I want to go there." I hear that and go, "I'll give it a try." You sit down, you eat, and you go, "No, this isn't for me." You know what? I never have to worry about that with the gospel. I never have to be ashamed of the gospel. I never have to say, "I'm sorry, this just, it's my favorite, but it's not the best thing for you." The gospel makes us unashamed. There's very few things. You know, about a week and a half ago, I was pretty excited about baseball. Man, I loved baseball. I was excited. My team won their division. Well, here we are at the end. They got blown out 3 straight games, and they're doing what I'm doing, sitting watching the playoffs with popcorn on my couch. Say, "Ha ha." Well, yours is probably there too, Yankee fans. Now we're going back. Well, what happened, Pastor? Something happened here? I don't know. I had no say in it. I couldn't swing the bat for him. I couldn't pitch. I don't know. It was out of my control. I'm ashamed. Let me down again. Jesus Christ has never let me down. I am not ashamed of the gospel. And you can go in with confidence, knowing that, yes, you have an answer, and that answer is Jesus Christ, and you never have to back away from it, because it's the truth. It's the way. He is the life, it says. So we study the Word of God. We learn about Jesus Christ as best as we possibly can. We develop a real, intimate relationship with Christ that I'm not ashamed of. We're not like Peter on those last hours of Christ's life. Hey, aren't you? No. No, I saw you. No. No, I'm sure I saw you. And now he curses his very name. No, Ed, you go in unashamed. Because you have something that's going to stand even stronger than you could ever. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Far exceeds our character. Far exceeds our power. Far exceeds our faithfulness. Even when men let us down, the gospel holds true. So I don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. Fulfilling the Great Commission, always having an answer, unashamed. Lastly, look at Galatians chapter 6. You know that word lastly means nothing. Okay, good. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Maybe you use verses like this and training your children, talking to them, explaining to them how a little bit of bad behavior will one day heap problems beyond problems upon them, because you sow a little problem, and what do you get? You get a big problem. You sow a little lie, and then you're going to have a big problem. You sow a little hurt or deceit or sin, whatever it is when you're dealing with it. And we use these verses so many times, majority of the times we use it negatively. We warn, we shake our finger out. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. We shout it out and we yell those very words because they're true. Right? You sow sin and it's going to be a problem for you. You can't get away from it. Because that thing cultivates, it grows, it gets bigger. And that little sin that you planted turns into a world of problems. You've got to root that thing out. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Ed, you're going to get involved in something. You're planting seeds. Be not discouraged if you don't see the end. Understand that you can't do right and get away with it. As you plant those seeds of righteousness, the Spirit of God is going to work in those things. And you may never see it in your lifetime. You may never see the people walking the altars. Oh, you might. But don't get discouraged if you don't. We don't quit because of the results. We go to fulfill the commission. We keep working regardless of the results. Easy for you to say, here you are in a nice air-conditioned thing, and you got nice padded seats, and friends of ours just got back from Africa, and was looking at their pictures, and man, they got wooden, remember when we went to Africa, wooden pews. You thought the old pews were bad. These even have backs on them and a cushion. It was literally a board with two stumps on the end. Grass floor. No grass. Mud floor. Dirt floor. What were the windows like? What windows? There was no windows. Heating, air conditioning, none. Yeah, the air conditioning was opening the back door. That was it. And all the bricks were... And yet God was in that place. We don't base the power of God on the facility. We don't base the power of God on the padded chairs. We let God bring about the increase out of people's lives. So how do you go and you sow? Maybe you get a chance to water. Maybe you might even get a chance to reap. Maybe someone else's work. But you have a part in it. But it warns us in verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Ed, I'm going to ask you that you not quit. Don't quit. Hey, there's going to be days when it gets tough and discouraging, and I just want to come home. Then you come home, you get some rest. Say, that's not Bible. Oh, Bible Institute students, we looked at it Monday night. Certainly, the Lord Jesus Christ gathered his disciples to do two things. He sent them out, go do the work of the Lord, and then he calls them back and he says, you report and then get some rest. That sounds like furlough to me. Hey, don't burn out. Take a little break. So you come back and you report and you get some rest. But you push through that discouragement. And you not get weary in well-doing. You don't quit. God's done way too much for us to quit on Him. We don't quit on the Lord. Oh, He might move us. That's okay. But we serve Him with all our hearts, all our life. Whether it's sitting in this chair or sitting across the ocean or wherever it may be, we don't quit. Say, well, that's a lot of work for Ed and Jackie there. I'm kind of glad I'm staying. Can I say something? All of these verses apply to us too. We also are called to fulfill the Great Commission. I didn't see a qualifier in there that said Ed and Jackie Bauman. It's for all of us to do. We ought to all be able to give an answer of the hope. We all ought to be unashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought all to be vocal about the gospel. Unashamed of the gospel. Not just those that are going to Puerto Rico. Not just those that serve the Lord in Africa and in Mexico and Brazil and Haiti and all of our missionaries all over the world. No, we're all to do that. We're all to sow seeds of righteousness. We're all to hand out a tract here, witness where we can there. You don't know what the Lord's doing in people's lives. And that track might be their first step to coming to Christ. That might be the very first seed. Last summer, we were doing this housing track. Was it last summer? Joe, when were we doing that housing track where the guy was mean? Was it last summer or earlier this summer? Last summer. And he was mean. Wasn't he mean? He was probably the meanest man I've ever met out witnessing. So we were back there again this summer. So we warned everybody, hey, when we get to that house, I'm going to that house. You don't go to that house. Went in. He was cordial. He was polite and nice. What happened? I don't know. See you next summer. Maybe that gospel track where you think that guy is just ridiculously mean. He took the track, but man, there was a seed planted that day. And you may never, ever see the results. You know what? There has been people that have had influences on your life that you will never be able to go back and thank until heaven. People that watered or people that planted in your life. You can do that to somebody else. You can be that to somebody else. We are all commanded to keep the Great Commission. We are all commanded to give an answer. We are all commanded to be unashamed. And we are all commanded to sow the seed of righteousness. Because look at what it reaps. Life everlasting. A couple years ago, I had a lemon tree. Awesome. Lemon tree in Rochester. How cool is that? Well, it was cool for a year. It no longer is working. It's broken. My lemon tree is broken. All summer we went, and I was thinking, well, it wasn't hot. Yes, it was really hot and dry. It was very citrus-like climate. Perfect. And it's just not working. So for a year, I got something out of it. And now, I don't know, I'm about to give it to Cody or my stepmom. They both seem to have a green thumb. Got a little bit of fruit out of it, and it lasted, oh, but a moment. You understand that the Word of God isn't just but for a moment. It's life everlasting. The thing that you're investing in isn't just for a moment. Although it takes but a moment, and in the grand scheme of things, our life feels like a moment. When you start thinking about how long it's been since you graduated high school. Now, some of those are measured in years. Some of those can be measured in decades. And a lot's happened since then, but it seems like it wasn't that long ago. And it goes by so fast. Hey, can you take your moment? You're but a moment. And you can give it to the Great Commission. Being ready to give an answer. I'm thankful for the Bauman family that are making... What's the difference between the Baumans and anybody else? They're just normal people. Put their pants on one leg at a time, right? I think. I don't know how else you could. But they're just wanting to serve the Lord. Oh, they must... Man, they must just drink holy water is what they drink over at the Bauman's house. They probably don't even eat. They probably just fast all day. No, I've been with him. He doesn't. All day. He's no different than you and I. We're all called to keep these things. He just gets to go do it in Puerto Rico. Where it doesn't snow in Puerto Rico, does it? Not often. Not where you're going. But we're all commanded to do these things. Ed, when you're there, don't forget about these things. Don't forget about why you're there. Don't quit. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. We'll take a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back for our business meeting. And I want to look at something real quick. Kind of adjusting on the fly here. Acts chapter 13, and it says this. In verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. We can substitute in the words Ed and Jackie in there. No, I'm not changing the word of God, but you understand. Separate me, Ed and Jackie, for the work whereunto I called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. Now, sending someone away doesn't sound like it's an amiable thing, but in this case, it certainly is. That if we send someone away, it usually doesn't sound nice. But here, we're commissioning, sending them out. So, Ed, why don't you come on up? Is Jackie in the nursery? Yeah. All right. Let's just have Mr.